But we can just rest. We can just quietly go about doing what we're going to do, knowing this. That one of these days, no man is going to be in that tabernacle except those who have been purified and cleansed and are taking the people and joining them to the Lord. The only one that's going to be able to stand in that place. Doesn't matter how big the ministry is, doesn't matter how big a name is, doesn't matter how big a program is, it's going to come crumbling down before this day is over. Well, when he's made an end of reconciling the holy place and tabernacle at the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Now here he brings the live goat. This is going to be a scapegoat. Now listen to what he says in the scapegoat. Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions and all their sins, and putting upon the head of the goat and send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And this goat shall bear all their iniquities. Can you imagine now they bring this goat? He's alive, but he's bleeding, stubborn, wasn't wanting to go, bringing up the air, because he's not handled the sins of all the people. He's not handled the sins of the priesthood. He's handled his own sins. Therefore, he comes and he puts his hands on the head of this goat, and he starts to do the whole confessional again. God, we've been stubborn. We've been stiff-necked. We've been unreasonable. We've been this. We've been that. And you can almost see the embarrassment that kind of spreads out across the camp. And yet the whole camp of Israel is identifying and is agreeing with what's being groaned out across the head of this goat. All the sins, there's nothing hidden. Everything, the hidden things are all revealed. They're all brought out into the open. Everything's exposed. Everything is brought out to the open. Everything's confessed. It's brought out in the open because it's being put upon the head of a goat. Put upon the head of a goat. I feel like there's almost nothing secret and sacred anymore. It's all being exposed. It's going to be exposed even more than this in a little bit. It's all being exposed, all placed upon the head of the goat. Think of the weight of sin that goat carried with it when it was taken out during the wilderness. And then it says it was the hand of a fit man, one who knew the wilderness, a man who took that goat, and the camp was quiet. Now he's going to lead that goat into the wilderness. How many of you ever tried to lead a goat? He's going to lead this goat out into the wilderness. Now when that goat goes out of camp, what goes with it? All their sin goes with it. And so you can see the whole camp of Israel. They're watching this fit man. They're watching God. He's getting smaller and smaller on the horizon. And finally he's gone. They can't see him anymore. He's gone out in the wilderness. But then there's another dilemma. How many have ever taken a goat away from familiar surroundings and not tied him up, but just turn him loose out there and come back and not have him follow you home? And so this goat takes all the sin out there and find that man is gone. They're straining the neck to this thing. Oh, a sigh of relief comes. You can just feel the air get freer and fresher. Sin is gone. It's taken out of the camp. It's gone. Well, it's not time for something else while this is all taking place. Service doesn't stop just because the goat's going out. We're going to tie this all together here in a few minutes. He said, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited. He shall let go the goat in the wilderness. That goat is never to return. Now that goat represents one aspect of what Jesus did. The one aspect of going in behind the veil was one thing. That was giving us standing with God. The other thing that Jesus, that this offering here represents now, is that he not only gave us standing with God, he also made the provision to actually take sin away. Right? He took sin away from us. He took sin away. We don't have to offer a sacrifice for sin year after year after year. He took it away. Thank God he took it away. I don't mind if you say amen once in a while. He took it away. We don't have to be conscious, because that's what's taking place on this day. Well, I'm going to go on so we can put it together. Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation. Now when this goat is gone, he comes into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went to the holy place and leave him there. He shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, because he's handled sin again. See, so therefore he's got to wash his flesh. He shall put on his garments. Now when he puts on his garments, that does not mean his street clothes. That means it's at this point now that he puts on the garments of the priesthood. His garments of glory and beauty. Now he identifies with the priesthood once again, because there's been atonement made for the priest, there's been atonement made for the people, there's been atonement made for the sanctuary. So now he is free to move as a priest. And when he does so, he must go in behind the veil and bring that censer out from behind the veil and put it on the altar of incense. And then he comes on out again. Now, it doesn't say this at this point, but it has to be that way because he left it in there because he had to leave it. The light had to be burning in the holy place while the altar of incense was being sanctified. And so that was his fourth trip in there. And when he comes back out as a priest now, he is symbolizing that God is now coming forth in the priesthood to meet the minister, to meet the people, the congregation. So what does he do? When he comes out, he puts on his garment, and he shall come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people to make an atonement for himself and for the people. Hallelujah. Now, when there are two praise offerings or two worship burnt offerings offered there, that means it's a double portion worship offering. Okay, we're going to come into a time of rejoicing, a time of worship, a time of praise, exaltation of the Lord, magnifying his name, and before this day is over, like you have never seen or experienced before. It's going to be a double portion worship offering. And it's going to completely release us from all that would still want to try to hold us. It's going to release us. The final atonement we made through it. The people are shouting. The people are dancing. The people are rejoicing. The people are getting happy because they're free from sin. Can you imagine for a whole year? They carried sin. But now they're free. The boot took it away. The goat took it away. Every once in a while you might see somebody cast a glance out for the way the fit man went. See if the goat's coming back. Because if the goat came back, guess what came with it? So there has to be some faith in the operation of God. See, that's what it is. There needs to be faith in what God is doing in this hour. Faith in the operation of God. Faith in what he has done and faith in what he is doing. Well, we want to go quickly now through 25, 27, and 28, then come back to 26. It's at this particular time when the burnt offerings are being offered that every 50 years the feast on the Day of Atonement, the Jubilee trumpet blows. Now, what that means is that every 50 years, all the people who were sold into slavery because of debts and sin and were in bondage, they were released back to their lands, back to their inheritance, back to their goods. And it was at this particular time, on the Day of Atonement, every 50 years, when this Jubilee trumpet would blow. Can you imagine the joy, the ecstatic expectation in the camp, where young people who had never seen it, parents who had never experienced it, but they were children when their parents told them about it, when they had been in bondage, and the trumpet blew when you were just a child. You don't remember, but the trumpet blew. We were in bondage. We were slaves. And it set us free because the moment that trumpet sounded across the land, Israel was free. All the debts were paid. The captives were set free. All those who were bound to a master because of slavery were free. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine as they waited and watched and longed for the hearing of that blasting trumpet that would set them free once again? The whole camp just went into Jubilee. That's why it's called a Jubilee trumpet. Blew only on the Day of Atonement every 50 years. You go back and correlate the trumpets, the Jubilee years, we're due for a Jubilee. Before this Day of Atonement is finished, when God finishes his redemptive plan, a Jubilee trumpet's going to blow. And there's going to be people that are going to be free. Free. No sin is going to be there to bother them anymore. Nothing is going to keep them from going into the full inheritance that's theirs at Tabernacles. So he says, and the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. Not only shall he burn the fat of the sin offering, verse 27, he says they'll take it outside the camp, and then what they'll also do is they're going to burn the skin, they're going to burn the flesh, and they're going to burn the dung of those sin offerings. What they did, those priests, while all the rest of the stuff was going on, they took those offerings and they cut them open. They laid them right open out there in the sun. They stripped the skin off. They took all the entrails out. They got all the fat out from around the kidneys and all the inside. Put it all on great big piles over here. And they put the entrails over here. And they took the dung over there. And they put the skin someplace else. They got all severed, all laid out. Why did they do that? Well, see, those sin offerings were made sin for the people. They became sin. because they were a substitutionary offering and their sin had been imputed to them. The reason any one of us have excess fat is because there is a fullness, there's an abundance of something. So what this fat represents is the fullness of that sin beast nature. It's all exposed. It's all brought out, all dug out, man, those knives, those priests were glorified butchers. And they could get in there and they could get every little speck of fat from every piece of meat, get it all off, get it all out there in the altar, and the whole fullness of that sin nature was laid out there in the altar. Nothing was hidden. You ever feel like God's putting a searchlight on down inside your, right down into your being, right down into your entrails, getting it all cleaned out and showing what's all going on there, the thought and intents of the heart being made manifest? That's the fat being cleaned out of that old nature, represented by the fat of the sin offerings, taken out there so it might be burned out and consumed. Hallelujah. Fullness of the sin and the beast nature is exposed and burnt. Next thing it is, they burnt their skins. And you know, you can skin an animal, and if there are certain animals, several animals, different animals in the same species, and you skin them, it's very hard to tell which is which. Very difficult. What gives you the ability to identify one animal from another is their skin. And so the skin here, because again, we're dealing with the sin offerings. The skin then was the appearance of sin. Therefore, the very appearance of sin was burnt up and consumed, never to be seen again. Because it was the embodiment of the sin that was imputed to those offerings on that particular day. The skin was burnt up and gone. Not only was the skin burnt up and gone, but their flesh was burnt up and gone. The flesh is the body of sin. Remember Paul saying in the 7th chapter of Romans, "Who, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this body of sin?" I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord will be set free. When? At this time in which you and I live. Now individually, it's been available to every person since Jesus came. But in the economy of the church, as he deals on a worldwide scene of the church, he is dealing with the church and now in such a way that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we might be without sin. But first it has to be all exposed for us to be so tired of it, get to see it in its awfulness, that we let go of it. And not only that, the dung needs to be burnt and put aside. It means that the dung is that which has been produced from partaking of the sin nature. But now it's passed from them, never again to depart from them. Burn up with the sin. Sin will have no more place in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you're finding things seemingly come up. Like somebody said to me a while ago, they said, you know, it seems the further I go in Christ, the worse I get. No, that's not really the way it is. We were always this bad. God just didn't show it to us before. He's just exposing it. He's revealing it. Why is he revealing it? Why is he exposing it? So it can be dealt with. Because, see, even though he has forgiven us, we still have a consciousness of sin. He wants us to be so free from the consciousness of sin that it can be totally passed from us. But in order to do that, we have to have complete faith in the operation of God. Verse 26. He that let go of the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards shall he come into the camp. You see, when he comes into the camp the second time, all of Israel, occasionally Israel is looking out there straining to see if that goat's coming. If they see that fit man coming back on the horizon, he gets larger and larger, he comes closer and closer. They're straining their eyes. Was he able to get free from the goat? Was he able to leave that goat out there? Because if the goat comes back in the camp, what comes with it? Sin comes back with it. But that fit man, they see coming. He's coming alone. There's no sin with him. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 9, 28, to as many as look for him, to them shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Because you see, when that fit man took that sin out there in the wilderness, that represents another aspect of Jesus Christ. Gone for a while, he took care of sin, took it away. But when he returns, comes back into the camp, as he said, the Lord said, I will appear on this day of atonement. When he appears, when he comes back in the camp, he's coming back without sin. That means he is not going to be as he was. But as the scripture says in John, he said, we shall see him not as he was, but as he is, in full glory. Has no representation, no mark No identification with the sin that he once bore. But comes back in a glorified state. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to see that before this day is over. Before this day of atonement is over, we're going to see him appear in glory. He's not going to have any resemblance to the sin nature. He's not going to have any resemblance to having been made sin. But he's going to be as he is in a glorified state. And I'll tell you where we're going to see him. We're going to see him first in the people, his body, who are also without sin. And we're going to see him there before we're going to see him apart from there. Because he's going to come in his people. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of the Lord. A people who have become transparent as he is. A people who have come into that place where sin is gone. A people that have come into that place where there's free access between them and their God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says he's going to come in, he's going to wash his clothes and bathe his flesh. That means he's going to put on other clothes. He's going to come in clean. Not going to look like what he went out with. All right, well, we've pretty well covered this. I just want to make a couple more comments here. Notice what it says down in verse 30, then we drop down through to verse 29 and 30. It says, this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. You shall do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For in that day shall the priest, now you notice the priest is in italics, shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, and that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. The consciousness of sin is gone. Sin was placed upon that scapegoat, and as he was taken out into the wilderness and let go, the sin remained with him. I personally believe, I'd like to look at a scripture over in Psalms chapter 7, if you would, just very quickly. If you can receive this, if you can hear it, what I'm saying, there comes a time, because in the year of Jubilee, every man's inheritance is returned to him once again. And this particular Jubilee that the church is facing, there's somebody else that's going to be given their having their inheritance returned to him as well. In the seventh, Psalms chapter 7, I want to look at verse 15. And 16. He's talking about those who caused iniquity. Verse 15. He made a pit and digged in it, and he has fallen into a ditch which he hath made. And his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. And then he said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. You know what I see there? I see that when that sin was placed on the head of that goat, there's coming a time that when it's truly taken off of the people, and it's taken out there into the wilderness, never been to return, that all the mischief, all the sorrow, all the pain, and everything that the devil has put upon the church, has been put upon God's people, is all going to return to his own head once again. And he's going to go back into his own pit, which he did for himself and wanted to include the church in. It's all going to go back on his own head, and there it's going to rest forever and ever. He shall have his inheritance returned to him, and we shall have our inheritance returned to us. We'll be entering into it, into the fullness of what God intended. Well, atonement is finished. The consciousness of sin is gone, and there is now union with God, because in the atonement is when man becomes one with God. And when man becomes one with God, the redemptive plan is finished. Now that the redemptive plan is finished in the 6 days, where God made man originally was in 6 days, he is going to also make a spiritual man in 6 days. So that as a result of that man being made in 6 days, he is then going to be able to enter fully into his inheritance and express the glory that God placed in him through those particular dealings. And it's going to be seen then in the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, it's been a while since I've taught on this particular Day of Atonement. It's one of my favorite portions of the Scripture, because it so clearly lays out for us what God is doing in this hour. Dealing with sin, exposing it, nothing hidden, getting out that it might be gotten rid of, so that our whole focus and understanding can be on God and not on sin. Let's let it happen. Don't resist as sin is exposed. Let it be dealt with. It's only being exposed for one reason, that it might be dealt with, that we might be cleansed from it, we might be free of it, it might go on without it. We can't go on with it, so we may as well go on without it. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your provision. Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the pattern that you lay out for us in the Scripture. And Lord, we just ask that you'd cause it to become real to us. That even as Jesus paid the price for us 2,000 years ago, that not only did he make it possible for us to have standing with you, but Lord, he also made it possible to take sin away, completely out of our experience, that we might be completely free, but might enter into a jubilee, that might be free from all of our debts, all of our trespasses, and be free to worship and serve you. Make it real to us, Lord. Cause us to have understanding like we've never had it before, as you prepare us for the great liberty that's before us in the church. Lord, thank you for it in Jesus. Amen. Amen.